true shepherd leads the way. He does not merely point the way. Leonard Ravenhill.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Samantha Leewright. I'm your host and I'm so grateful to be here each week with you all. If you're brand new to the show and you're looking to sort of get back to basics, I recommend going back and listening to episode 73 called Back to Basics. That'll teach you a little bit of the foundation of what are essential oils, how to use them, etc., etc. We also have a free course you could take at freeoilcourse.com, which teaches you the safety tips you need to know and the basic ways to use essential oils, and it's delivered right to your inbox at freeoilcourse.com. That's where you can go to sign up. Welcome to this week's episode, where we interview a pastor who uses essential oils in his practice and in his personal life. And he was a huge skeptic for a long time, and you'll get to hear all about his journey. But first, let's, as always, pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's episode comes from Courtney Vaughn in South Carolina, and this recipe is called the Teen Tranquilizer. Courtney works in a high school as a school counselor, and she says she uses this blend in her diffuser when the kids are crazy. To make the Teen Tranquilizer, simply mix 2 to 3 drops of Stress Away blend, 2 drops of peppermint, and 1 drop of lavender in your diffuser, and enjoy. Thanks so much, Courtney, for this recipe. We love getting your recipes, guys, so keep them coming. You can email us your own DIY recipe for anything that involves essential oils over at revolutionoilspodcast@gmail.com. On to the show. Well, welcome, everyone. I'm here with Pastor Michael Gragg, who is a pastor here in my own town, Boone, North Carolina. He's the pastor at The Rock, which is a contemporary non-denominational church that I hear just amazing things about. He's been a pastor or been in ministry for over a decade. And in 2015, he and his wife, Casey, planted a non-denominational church here in Boone, where they are still the lead pastors today. So, Michael, welcome to the show. We're super, super glad that you're here. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It is a privilege to be here today.
Yeah. So I want to go ahead and dive in there. I've heard that you have admitted that at first you were super skeptical of this whole oil thing, but now you use them daily. So I want to know, how does that happen? Or I guess my first question is, first of all, why were you so skeptical in the beginning, and then what changed?
I came from a very American perspective and westernized medicine, as in Tylenol, Advil, you know, anything that you can buy over the counter are okay. But anything that might cause some kind of question mark, such as an oil, or why? I don't know this. I didn't grow up with this. This is not something that seems to be normal to me. And so I think anytime something is not normal, we tend to push back a little bit. And normal, again, is relative, and it is relative to whoever we are and however we've grown up and the learned behaviors and the environments that we've grown up with. And so not growing up with a natural remedy in my household and my parents being in healthcare their whole life, basically I didn't see that. You know, everything was about the prescription drugs or about what can somebody prescribe you to take care of yourself. But my wife has always been into the holistic medicine and finding out natural ways to heal the body. And whenever I first went into ministry several years ago, the Lord had asked me to do something, and I began to journey on about fasting. And through fasting, I found that natural medicine was really good. Even though I found all of those things and found that your body could basically heal itself and could use things from nature to heal itself, I still was very skeptical of all of the things that were out there. And so about a year ago, my wife came and she said, "Hey, I want to talk to you about Young Living and these essential oils." And I said, "Okay." And I didn't really know what to do because I really didn't believe that they worked. I had read, I didn't know, had no experience with them, didn't know anybody that had really seen anything from them that had benefited them. And so I was like, sure, whatever. We'll try it 1 month and see what happens. And so we got the oils and we kind of called them. I kind of felt like they were, there was a name, there was a terminology, and this is may or may not be politically correct. So you'll have to forgive me, Samantha. But they were called voodoo oils. And so that's kind of what something that was brought up to my attention was like, hey, yeah, so your wife does the voodoo oil thing too. And I'm like, sure, yeah, whatever. I don't use them, but they're there. And then she started diffusing them. And then I started noticing that things started changing around the house and mood started shifting. There was a little bit more stability, and ministry is tough. You know, you never know what hours you're going to be working. You never know what your schedule is going to be like. You tend to carry home emotions because you're always dealing with people who are maybe struggling in marriage, or people who are struggling. They've lost somebody, or they're trying to figure out what their spirituality looks like. And they know they want to connect with God, but they're not real sure what they believe. And so you're all the time carrying this for those people that are very spiritual. Basically, the word is energy. You're carrying all of this energy with you wherever you go. And so you carry it, whether it being negative or whether it be positive, you carry this with you. And so I started to notice something shifting and changing in our house. And I started to notice that a lot of this was working. And I had read some of the benefits. And so my entry into essential oils was lemon water, because I knew that it was good for cleansing. I knew I had read, drink some lemon juice and water, and it helps cleanse this. And about a year ago, I woke up the day after my 35th birthday, and I weighed about 200, and I did weigh, there's no about, I weighed 262 pounds, and I knew something had to shift. And so through kind of prayer and seeking what the Lord wanted me to do, and then asking Casey, and then started doing some research, I started utilizing these oils. Still not every day at that point in time, but I was using them more regularly than not. And as we began to journey through this process, I was entering into a fitness workout and routine, and I got injured one day through a lift that I didn't have the right technique on, right form. And she started introducing me to Deep Relief. And when I found Deep Relief, I'm like, okay, these things work. It is a miracle from God, because there is no way that my back should feel the way that it feels 10 minutes after. I couldn't move. I was laid out on a bed. And then she came and said, let me just try this. I'm like, sure, we'll try some of that voodoo stuff. I'm sure. Because at this point, I was still thinking that lemon water was really the only one that worked. And about 10 minutes afterwards, I kind of felt relief, and I felt just something shifting in my body. And I began to believe, okay, these things work. So what else is out there that I need to know about? And then thieves kind of came in, because it was around cold season or cold and flu season when all that stuff happening, right at the break of weather, November, December time a year ago. And we began to take the, of course, the Vitality Thieves and put it on your tongue, you know, to protect you from all the other things out there. And I'm proud to say that our family didn't have, you know, any sickness last year, really. We didn't have, as we want to talk about above the wellness line, thieves helped us stay above that wellness line and helped us stay healthy throughout the cold and flu season last year. And so when I saw that, because our kids are all in public school and they're around hundreds of kids, they go to the largest elementary school here with over 800 kids. And then our other kids are in daycare and preschool and all these things. So when you see that and you see your family being healthy, and you begin to see that, hey, our patterns are a little bit different than they've ever been before, you automatically begin to believe, because something has shifted and something has changed.
Absolutely. Wow. There's so many little nuggets in there that I would love to pick on a little bit. One is, like, I love that lemon oil was kind of your introduction, or your gateway oil, as I like to call it. And I think it's so true that we tend to rely on what we're used to, what we know, what we've grown up in, and making that leap. I don't think many people would look at you funny if you said to them, hey, did you know that putting lemon in your water is good for you? It supports your liver. It's good for balancing your pH. Lemons are good for you. There's a lot of people that aren't going to question that. So just making that short little leap over to lemon oil having those properties is not that difficult, right? So that's one way. And because lemon, it's a common botanical that we're used to, talking about the health benefits of. And that's all we're doing with the other essential oils. Every essential oil comes from a plant. It comes from a botanical. And all of these gifts have these amazing properties, and there's nothing voodoo about it. It's just science, right? It's just, It's these amazingly complex components that all have these different benefits to our body. So, but I think it's right. It comes back down to what we're used to. So it's great that you got to have those experiences as a skeptic, experiencing those. And I think Deep Relief is definitely one that any skeptic, give them Deep Relief when they've had an injury or anything like that, and they won't be too skeptical for long. It's so true. Well, thanks for sharing that story. I want to ask for you, what's the connection for you between the oils and your faith? What's that about for you? And I'm sure that's a very personal question, but I don't think you're shy, so I'm asking
it. I'm not shy at all. And again, I like to illustrate using stories and testimonies, because I think that's where we get so much of our power from. And that's biblical. You know, if we are looking at this from a biblical perspective, or even a spiritual perspective, or just a life perspective, when we hear a testimony or hear something of a product changing someone's life, then we tend to believe in it for ourselves. And so if I were to back up several years and tell you my third daughter's story, Tatum, and how basically we had been to every doctor within 100 miles trying to figure out what was wrong with her bladder and what was wrong with her, all of her system, we just prayed. I mean, we spent a lot of time praying and asking, okay, how do we get there and how do we get her healthy? Because we know that she's not living in health the way that she's supposed to be living in health, because you have to understand, I'm a pastor that believes in healing. I don't believe that gift has gone. I believe God uses any kind of means that he wants to use to heal people and heal the body, but the body itself can heal itself if we will allow it to. So we knew that we wanted to get our daughter well. We knew that we wanted to get our family well, that we needed to live the life that we felt like we had been called to live as pastors. And so she had some really bad bladder issues, and she had some really bad, and every doctor just kept saying, it's this, it's this, it's this. And then we found out that there was this other option. And then we started talking to a good friend of yours and mine, Becky Webb, and she started sharing some things that might help shift that. And then she shared a doctor's office that might help that. And so what happened was we began to realize that our faith and our health were directly correlated, that they were not separate entities, that they did not operate differently. They operated one and the same for us, for our family. Now, for everybody, I'm not telling you that has to be you. I believe personally that they work hand in hand. And so we had to believe, and we do believe, that God gave us these essential oils. And he says, hey, this is something that I gave you. I gave you in Genesis chapter 1, dominion over the earth, not to destroy the earth, not to pollute it, not to corrupt it, but dominion over the earth, that you may use it and that you may take care of it and that you may work the ground. And so that when you work this ground as young, I love the fact that Young Living is seed to seal. I love the fact that they take care of their own seeds. I love the fact that they develop their own plants. I love the fact that they process their own oil, whatever that process may be, depending on the type of oil that you may be purchasing or using for various reasons. And so I think that that's a biblical perspective for me. And that's one reason I love this company, is they seem to have grasped that idea that these products are here for us and for our benefit, because we were created in his image. And as we were created in his image, he wants our body to be healthy. He wants it to be whole. So when my daughter began to get sickness, we realized that she needed to be healthy and whole. And anything that we could do to promote that, we really started going to doctors and physicians that were telling us, okay, these are products that are man-made. These are products that have come from, these are natural products, things that have come from God. And it's not just a label that says all natural. It's way more than that. I think that this faith journey of the oils and what's happened in my life, because I started to tell you the story of how I weigh 262 pounds. I've lost over 50 pounds. My body fat's been cut well over 20%. And I can't say that it's been one particular thing, but I can tell you my daily routine, which we'll get to kind of at the end, has been changed significantly by Young Living, by these products. And it's given me the ability to walk out in faith and for other people to walk out in faith. And I see other people's life changing because my life is changing. And typically as the leader, your people can't go beyond where you go. And so it's interesting because I shared this testimony of Deep Relief in a sermon, and I love Nixtured, and I think it's one of my favorite products. And so I ingest that one daily. And I talk about that one too. These are products that have directly come from something that we were given dominion over to care for, not to disrupt, not to corrupt, but something to care for. And so Young Living has done that, and they've taken care of this earth, and they've made sure that they've provided products that, yes, science supports that our bodies need these things and our bodies can use these things to heal themselves, not just to heal themselves, but to take care of themselves. And when I say heal themselves, I don't necessarily mean heal yourself of some type of catastrophic disease. It can do that too, but that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. It can do a lot of things, such as helping your body, like detox the liver, healthy support, whatever it may be there that these oils can do. And so that's kind of how it works for me, is that the faith and the health are tied. They're one and the same to me.
Yeah. So would you say that the oils, like let's say you put on frankincense, for example, do you feel like that helps strengthen your faith or your spiritual practice? Or do you feel like it's the other way around? Do you feel like your faith make the oils stronger, or is it cyclical? I don't know.
Cyclical, definitely cyclical. Because I think a lot of times I can go a lot of times one of my favorite oils to diffuse is peppermint. I love peppermint. It's probably my favorite oil. But frankincense is great because I can give you testimony of how it's of things that it's done in my life and my wife's life. I think what happens is we become more aware through these types of things. And so I don't necessarily think oils make you more spiritual. And I think the relationship is yes and yes, if that makes sense.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Can I ask, do you ever use the oils when you are preaching, when you're in a sermon in your church? Maybe which ones?
I put oils on every day. Have I used them intentionally during a sermon? Not necessarily. We have anointed people, prayed with people. We have used the oil release to pray for people when we're praying for healing in their body. And we have used various oils in the office to diffuse, and peppermint, lemon, thieves, clarity, a release, destiny, all of these types of things that we use. And it really just depends on whatever I feel like I've been showed that day, or maybe even what the intent of that sermon or that topic might be that I'm sharing about. We do use thieves cleaner, you know, in the nursery and in the offices now.
Yeah. So you kind of like sneak it in there. Like you're oiling everyone without necessarily putting it in the diffuser and it, you know, because right. I think you might be getting to the fact that you don't want to force these on people and you don't want to use them without consent necessarily, but you are using them throughout your journey and throughout the space, like through the cleaning products and things like that, and on yourself to just enhance that environment. Did I have that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because what I don't want to ever do is I don't want to ever close a door that's been opened. And sometimes when we force our product or force our belief on someone, then we close a door that is just barely opened, and it's really more of a window than a door. And if we close that, if we force something through that window, then it becomes stuffed and it becomes shut. And so we found that it's much better, especially we're kind of in a interesting scenario as a pastor and as a just getting kind of started in the Young Living business. What is that fine line look like for us? And how can we talk about these things? And how can we still promote what we believe to be our primary calling? And how do they go hand in hand?
So you used the word anointing a while back, and it's just been mulling over in my brain. I love that word, to anoint someone with the oils. It's just, there's something about that word that feels so powerful and spiritual and basic to me. I don't know. What's the root of that word? And do you have a connection to that practice of anointing people?
Anointing is very Old Testament. It's very back in, I mean, it's one of the oldest traditions in the Bible and in Scripture. And honestly, it was probably around way before the written word or before anybody ever really knew what they were doing with that. And so anointing has carried value and has carried weight. It is a very heavy subject. It is not discussed often. Anointing can simply mean chosen, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about here, because it is a serving. When we think about our relationship, or when we think about spirituality, a lot of times it is about serving, not what you get, but what you can give. And anointing means that you are taking a product and you are rubbing it on them, you know, basically. And so when we choose to anoint someone, we ask the Lord where to anoint them, what that would be like. We believe that people are anointed through the Christian practice, and at least where we are, we believe that people are anointed through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it does have definite direction and power things tied to it. And the anointing comes through the words that we speak, but it also comes through the actions that we do. And so through these oils, because we believe that they carry power too, we believe because they are something from God, that they are a good gift that has been given to us, that we can utilize them to share with people what this power from God looks like. You know, this is a tangible way to demonstrate faith with somebody. So when you anoint someone, you anoint them for several different reasons, at least in the Christian area of faith that we have.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. Let's talk about how essential oils relate to biblical texts. What are some examples of how oils or just plants have been used in reference to that time?
We kind of just talked about anointing a little bit and that word anointing, and we find that there are a lot of different oils that are used. One of the original passages about anointing goes back to Exodus chapter 30, verse 23. If you guys wanted to look that up, you could see all the different oils there. And I would encourage you to go reference those, and you will find those also as part of the Oils of Ancient Scripture on the Young Living website. That's a great resource that you can check out. And so those are ways that you can find out what they tie and how they correlate to, because we know that it is really the only medicine that they had back in the original days and back at creation, was the medicine that they used for medicinal purposes. And so historically, we believe that there has been great power and great authority and great purpose in these essential oils plants. And so, like, for instance, royal sandalwood is an oil that is present in Young Living's line, and that is a type of aloe that comes from a tropical plant. And that has been a symbol of abundance and provision in Numbers 24:6. It's considered to be a perfume in Psalm 45:8 and Proverbs 7:17. Incense and a burial ointment for Christ in John 19, and we know the story of Jesus and the burial that's taking place there and how they prepared him for that. And so sandalwood is that type of oil there. And so cedarwood we see throughout Scripture in a lot of different times, a ceremonial tool for cleansing leprosy in Leviticus 14 and Numbers 19. It's, again, a perfume. All of these oils were a type of perfume. Abundance and provision based on the anointing that was happening in Numbers 24 and Ezekiel 31:3. I mean, this is also mentioned by considered to be the wisest man throughout Scripture in Solomon, mentioning it throughout Proverbs and mentioning not just this one, but probably the two most common oils that we hear about were frankincense and myrrh. And we realize that they were delivered to the mother of Jesus after his birth. And so it was believed to be even at that point in time that they were used for fighting things, for making sure that they stayed healthy, making sure that they stayed, as Young Living would like us to say, above the wellness line. And so these gifts were given to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and so helping to fight off any type of disease or any type of sickness that may have prevented them from living as they were supposed to live and as they were called to live. And so we see frankincense and myrrh going way back into the Old Testament, starting all the way back in Leviticus and coming all the way up through the New Testament and through various times. And we know that frankincense was a very precious commodity. It was also a holy ceremonial perfume, again, found in Exodus 30. That's a great chapter to read if you're concerned or want to know more about oils. I would also encourage you to check out a book by David Stewart called Healing Oils of the Bible, and you can find that on Amazon. It'll be a great reference and resource. Also, you can Google this. This is not something that's new. It's something that's been around for a long time because these oils have existed since the beginning of creation. And so there's been a lot of research and scientific stuff done. So make sure that you check them out with Google. Again, I can answer any personal questions that you have too. You can message me if you need anything from me.
That's really, really generous of you. Thank you. That's wonderful. And thank you for mentioning those resources, because again, this is such a vast topic and it's an amazing journey. So if this is something that really interests you, I do want to encourage everyone again to check out that book, especially Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart. Such an amazing resource. Beautiful. And I know a lot of people will teach classes using that book and you can just learn so much. So one more question for you. Is there a message you'd like to share with other pastors, perhaps?
We are afraid of what we don't know. And then when we are no longer afraid of what we don't know how to get started. And I think getting started sometimes is the scariest step that we take, regardless of whether it's business, a church, a relationship, whatever it may be. I think that getting started is more times than not well over half of the battle that we have in our own minds, that we have in our own hearts, that we have in our own heads. And so I would encourage you, get started. Start somewhere and let the Lord be your guide. If you're a pastor, if you're someone who's seeking the Lord, if you're someone who's seeking spirituality, start making sure that you get started, whatever that would be, whatever you feel that desire is. I often teach this, Sam, in through sermons and through the Scripture. Desire, if we break it down into its very core root, it means the D means of, and sire means the Father. And so we understand in Christian circles that God is our Heavenly Father. And so when we break down the root word desire, we break down the original definition of desire and we break it down to its origin, it simply means to be of the Father. And so if God has put something in our heart, if he's given us a seed, if he's given us the desire, then it is of him. And so we are to pursue that. And so I think a lot of times pastors are a little bit scared or fearful to introduce something new because it's not something that's been out there. It's not something that's known. But I think we have to realize that the Bible even tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And a lot of times that is suggesting that we get started. And so a lot of times what happens is we don't get started. I think back to my own journey a year ago. If I don't ever get started, if I don't ever start the process of healing my body and taking care of my body, because we're told in Scripture time and time again that our body has been given to us as a holy temple, and we are to treat it as such because it is a temple of God's Spirit himself. And so as we do that, we take care of our body. And as we take care of our body, it's time to get started taking care of our body. In John chapter 5, there's a very phenomenal story being told of the man who's been waiting to be healed for 38 years, and he doesn't know where to get started. It kind of is how it gets. And Jesus just simply asks him, "Do you want to get well?" And so my question to pastors and to churches and to other users or business people is, do you want to get well? And if you want to get well, get started.
as a pastor as well, you're a leader, right? You, whether you like it or not, the people that you are speaking to and leading are looking up to you. And there's no better way to encourage other people to be well and to take care of their body, which is their temple, which it deserves to be healthy. There's no better way to empower people to do that than for you to go on that journey as well, right? You have to walk the walk. You can't just talk the talk. I'm wondering if as a pastor, you feel this a certain responsibility for the health of your congregation. I imagine that would feel pretty heavy on you. Have you noticed a change since you started this journey of that perspective?
Oh, absolutely. Because for me, it wasn't just my health, but it was also my whole being has shifted in the last year. And I'm a healthier person spiritually, emotionally, physically. My body is functioning and doing things that I didn't know if it would ever do, meaning, you know, I can exercise longer. I can run. I've never run more than a mile in my life, you know, and I'm 35. And in January, as I set out and I've finished a 5K, I've got a 12-mile race later on this year. And is my responsibility as a leader to lead this congregation, to lead these people in a way that I believe to be best. The word that comes out of pastor in the Old Testament is the word shepherd. When we think of a shepherd, we think of the person who is responsible for the well-being of the flock. If I am not living out to the best of my ability, what I know to be true, what I know to be helpful to these people. And so I tell people the reason this is from a clearly biblical pastoral perspective, Samantha. So if you're not a pastor, this may not resonate with you, but I think you'll still understand what I'm going to say. I know that the reason that I am called to take care of this body, that I'm called to take care of this temple, is so that I can best fulfill the purpose that God has designed for me and for the very specific calling that He's given for me. I think regardless of where you stand, wherever you may be, the very same thing rings true for you, regardless of whether you're a pastor or you're not, or you're not even sure what you believe at this point in time. You are still being asked to steward something that was not necessarily yours, to steward something that was given to you. And so we are called to steward that. And as a leader, they are not going to go beyond what I can experience for them. And so much of, we can't really teach something that we haven't experienced. We can, but it's empty words. There's not a lot of power behind it. And so we've got to live it out before we're ever able to really teach it. So first you do, and then you teach. And that's biblical, but that's just life too. It's just the way that it is.
Absolutely. Well, and especially when you go to that root word of shepherd, we can all be shepherds to some extent. You know, we can all lead by example, and we can all lead someone else, whether we're a mom or a dad. You are a shepherd to your children. If you're a teacher, you're a shepherd to your students. If you're a friend, you can be a shepherd to your friends. That interpretation of shepherd applied to everyone, I think, can be such a powerful motivator for you to step up, you know,
right?
Step up and lead through example. Take care of yourself so that you can take care of others and inspire people to take care of themselves, right?
Right. And it's interesting you say that, because it brings up to mind another scripture in Peter when he says that we are called to be a royal priesthood. We've been holy. We've been chosen as believers to live this type of life. If we were to break down the word priest in Latin in its original form, it breaks down into the word pontifex. And pontifex simply means to be a bridge builder. You are to be, if we were to take that and put that in your context, we are to be a bridge builder for the people around us, that we may connect them to the things that we know work for us that may work for them. And so it's great if we know that something works for us, but it's even greater when we connect someone that we are in charge of or in care of, and we connect them to something that helps them, because it's great when you're able to live it out, but it's even greater when you're able to help someone else live it out.
I love that. To me, that's really what this podcast is all about. It's just a bridge. It's a bridge for the listeners who are listening to connect them to these amazing things that I've experienced, that my guests have experienced. So thank you for coming on and helping me build this bridge a little bit stronger.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
Well, before you go, we always love to ask our guests some closing questions. You already sort of touched on it a little. So go ahead and share with us what your daily health habits look like now. And I know you said they're very different than just a year ago. So I'm excited to hear that.
Now, the first thing that I do whenever I wake up, honestly, that for using the oil products, is I drink lemon water. I drink about 6 ounces of lemon water. I take my old Ningxia Red bottles, because if you've ever put lemon in a plastic bottle, you know that that's not a good idea. What I usually do is take a Ningxia Red bottle, which is about a 24-25 ounce bottle, and I drop about 4 drops of lemon in that, and then that sits, and I just drink about 4 or 5 ounces of lemon water each day to start my day. So it's probably about a drop for 4 to 5 ounces, something like that, maybe less than a give or take. I think that's dependent upon you and kind of what your taste is and what you feel if it's working. It works for me, so that's why I do it. I've seen great results.
Yeah, you don't need a lot, you know, and I, right. Especially if you're new to oils, I always like to forewarn people, don't put, you know, 8 drops of lemon in a glass of water if you're brand new to oils. That will like stir up lots of junk and you will not feel happy after that.
Right. And then I follow that with something that's not a Young Living, apple cider vinegar. That's my next step in my routine, is I take another 1 ounce shot of that. Sometimes I mix the two, depending on if I want to taste the vinegar that day or not. Not everybody knows the benefits of apple cider vinegar. I would encourage you to look those up. It's one of those great superfoods out there. It's not really a food, but super products out there that I think is very natural and can be used as well. It is important that you get that with the mother, not just go buy the cheap brand off the shelf. Is that okay to say, Samantha?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I assume so. Peppermint water is my go-to. I will drink that. Usually I will wake up and work out after I've taken these first 3 steps. And then I start my next routine is having a little bit of peppermint water. Again, that's dependent upon how much you're comfortable with and how where you are in the process. I don't encourage you to take a bunch of drops right out of the get-go, but to get that going would be good. And then I drink that before I work out, during my workout, and after my workout. And then the diffuser is always going. Casey always has the diffuser going. And then I usually use a bottle of oil that my wife has made to help me, because I've had mobility problems, flexibility problems in my hips and in my ankles. And I use something that she's helped me make up. It's a blend that she's made that is full of the peppermint and spearmint and wintergreen and lemongrass and cedarwood and copaiba and those types of oils that basically help my hip flexors get loose and help me get ready to work out. So that's kind of my morning. I've got a whole nother section that I do, but I want to keep it kind of brief.
Yeah, we'll have to save that for another day. I love it. All right. Thank you. Well, one last question. What's just one thing that we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
I saw that question when you emailed that to me, and I was really kind of praying that you would not ask me that question, but I will answer it, because I think it's something that I don't want to necessarily go cold turkey as in quit it, but this is something that I think can significantly change your life. The first thing you do and the last thing you do, not let it be social media. I think it could significantly change your life. I mean, like before you go to bed and right when you first wake up, if we were to replace that with a direct time of meditation, thinking on, for me, it's the Bible. I'm a pastor. For me, the first thing I try to do is pray. The last thing I try to do is pray. I try to meditate on that. If you are not sure about the Bible and you are not sure about your walk or about your focus, pick a quote, write it down, put it on a wall, put it on a postcard, write it on a post-it note or a note card, whatever you need to do. But I would say it would benefit you tremendously if you were to get, because there's so much negativity and there's so much stuff in I have a whole sermon that I talk about the salt and the light and the ions that take place whenever we're releasing cell phones and screens and all those types of things. But if we were to replace that, the last thing that we do, and just spend 5 minutes before we get up and 5 minutes right before we go to sleep, the last thing and the first thing, and we were to replace social media with something positive, I think it could significantly change our life.
Well, holy cow. How could you not have wanted to answer that question? Because that, I think, is my favorite answer of all time that we've ever had on this show. That touches on so many benefits that, thank you. That is such good advice. I would definitely support that 100%. If anyone's thinking, I don't know if I can do that, how could you not just give up 10 minutes of your entire day and not even give it up, but just replace those 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes before bed with something positive? And like you said, social media is not always a positive place. We can't control it. It can be very negative. Even if it's positive things that we're reading, there's so many other things that happen when we're looking at our screen, when we're scrolling and we're, you know, not present. That's basically what social media is. It's not being present to where you are in the here and now. And so, yeah, replacing that with something positive for yourself, I just love that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. And I was a little nervous to say that because I know how some people feel about social media.
All right. Well, this has been absolute delight. Thank you so much for coming on the show and being a part of this revolution. It was such a delight having you.
And thank you so much for having me.
Thanks everyone so much for listening to this episode of the Essential Oil Revolution. If you're looking to connect with Pastor Greg, there's a couple places you can find him. On Instagram, he is at Pastor Greg. That's G-R-A-G-G. Also, his family's on Instagram as oily_faith_family and as well on Facebook under that same name.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. You can connect with me on Instagram at Sam Lee Wright or on Facebook at Essential Oil Revolution Podcast. Our website is revolutionoilspodcast.com. There you can find a link to our sponsors, shop our most popular items, and find more detailed show notes for every episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy the show, consider sharing it with a friend or leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It helps other people find this show, and your kind words also make me cry a little, not gonna lie. You can submit up to 5 recipes a year into our DIY dugout, which makes you automatically enter to win our monthly giveaways. Simply email us your name, your original essential oil recipe, and where you're from or your website to DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. You can also send us in your episode ideas or your personal essential oil success stories. With your permission, we can share your testimonial with everyone right here on the show. Go the extra mile and consider recording your story in a video. Send it in and we can extract the audio and share it here with our listeners. Use a pair of earbuds or a microphone and tell us about how essential oils have helped you. Make sure you're subscribed to the show so you can get new episodes downloaded while you sleep. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. And you can also tell Alexa, "Hey Alexa, play the Essential Oil Revolution podcast," and she'll do it. Pretty cool, huh? I can't thank you enough for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the revolution. We'll catch you here next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.